Most of the time at this juncture, we have a little video. If you would go to the first slide of A Life Renewed, we're going to do something a little bit different. Now, this has been a great spring. I have never, ever noticed the Wasatch trees in bloom like they were in bloom this year. Never seen, in 30 years of living here, I've never seen that full bloom of Wasatch trees. And I don't know, maybe it was that I was traveling out 725 during the height of that, I don't know. But what we're going to talk about this morning is really how the life of Jesus, you know, Christ in me, Christ is alive in me, how does that life well up from the inside and come to full bloom in it? And the greatest picture of that is what happens every spring. There's a renewal of life. And if you think about the renewal of life, you just have to drive around our loop. Aren't you amazed at all the different colors driving around our loop? All the beautiful wildflowers. So I'm going to give you the opportunity. What is your favorite flower that blooms in the spring? Tell us the color. If you know the name, tell us the name. You get to brag on your favorite flower. So here you go. What is it? Okay, the orange poppy. Connor, the blue bonnets. All right, that's great. Actually, there are different colors of blue bonnets. Yeah, Dorothy. Purple irises. Okay, great. Oh, and also, what goes along with the white jasmine? An aroma that like knocks your socks off if you wear socks. Texas Mount Laurel, there you go. That's kind of the height of my life. You know, I don't know if it kills brain cells, but I sniff that stuff the whole 3 weeks it's around. It's so great. I don't pass a Mount Laurel without sniffing. It's such a great. Maybe I didn't get enough grape soda growing up. I don't know what it is, but isn't it a great smell? Yeah. Indian blanket kind of looks like that. Or fire wheel, that's another name for that. That's coming now. Anybody else? Susan likes the black-eyed Susan. I think it's because of the name. Morning glories. Okay. Red azaleas. Red azaleas, yeah. Don't grow so well here, but they do in Houston, Dallas. Yeah. Okay. You getting a picture? Beautiful flowers. Life renewed. A reminder, out of the winter, out of the barrenness, something new, something beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. If you have a favorite flower you didn't get to brag about, you can tell me after we're done. If you would, stand with me, and let's read together. From the letter to the Ephesians that Paul wrote. So Paul is writing, he says, I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in obsessions, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learn Christ. My assumption is that you've paid careful attention to Jesus, been well instructed in the truth precisely as you have seen it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. Please have a seat. So what is life for us? Well, part of the answer to that question, Paul says, to a large degree, the quality of our life is determined by who we are following. And he raises two options. He says, are we following, quote, the crowd, or are we following the Christ? I'm using the Christ because Christ is a title. Christ is not a name. Christ means the anointed one. Christ means the king. So the Christ would be maybe even a better way of saying that. We sometimes make it Jesus Christ as if Christ is Jesus' last name. That's not so. So are we following the crowd or the Christ? That's what's before us. Now, if you think about that for a moment, there's always many in a crowd. So we'll make this, here's a crowd over here. There's many. So if you're trying to follow the many in the crowd, which one are you going to follow? But if we take Connor as the Christ, stretching it a bit, but there's one. To me, there's a focus here. Am I going to follow, like, which of these in this crowd am I going to... I mean, that's a little confusing. I don't know exactly which one in that crowd I'm going to follow. But if it's the Christ, there's just one person to keep my attention on. And Paul is definitely telling us that if I'm following the crowd, it's going that way. If I'm following Christ, it's going, they're going in different ways. They do not go in the same direction at all. Now, if it's the crowd, and that crowd, that you can encounter that crowd at Sonic, you can encounter that crowd at school, you can encounter that crowd in your neighborhood, you can encounter that crowd where you work. I mean, he doesn't really tell us. There's this crowd mentality that can be around us, but he doesn't really describe it very well because he says, if you're following that crowd is empty-headed and mindless. And that crowd has refused for a long time to deal with God. And that crowd not only has lost touch with God, but also when you lose touch with God, you lose touch with reality. So that crowd can't think straight. And then sadly, really sadly, that crowd feels no pain because that crowd anesthetizes its pain with all sorts of addictions. It looks kind of like this. It's just this circle. If I'm going to follow that crowd, then I just get caught up in this circular, I never get anywhere. I'm just milling around with this herd mentality. And the more time I spend with that crowd, it's really this empty-headed, mindless thing that I'm part of. And when I maybe look around, nobody in that crowd's dealing with God. Everybody's refusing to deal with God. And we're not only out of touch with God, we're really out of touch with reality. And then that leads to just not thinking straight. And when you get out of touch with reality, and you get out of touch with God, and you can't think straight, and your life is just going in this endless circling, you don't really know exactly who to follow because you're trying to follow that crowd, and you're trying to fit in, there's this pain that starts to grow. And so that pain is meant to oh, you know, this doesn't make sense following that crowd. There's the Christ, follow Him. That pain's meant to help us refocus after something else. But sometimes we don't wake up. And so to handle that pain, we start to kill that pain. And we do that with a variety of addictions. I grew up in a household like that. My father's addiction, the way he dealt with pain, was through alcohol. Alcoholism is not about the liquid you drink. It's what that liquid does. And that liquid kills the pain of following a crowd. Or it can be a drug. Or it can be relationships. Or it can be shopping. Or it can be gambling. Or it can be this vast assortment of addictions that we as people get involved in. But it's all because of this. There's this gnawing pain when I'm part of a crowd that's going nowhere. I'm finding no fulfillment in it. Nobody's thinking straight. It's a mindless activity. Empty-headed people getting together with no new ideas. And there's this pain because I know there's got to be more to life than this. Thank God we're not stuck there because there's another option. We're either following that crowd, whatever it might be, or we're following Christ, the Christ. And when we follow Him, we pay careful attention to Him. And we're well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. See, what's really great about that, when you're following that crowd and they're out of touch with reality, that means they're out of touch with truth. But with Jesus, you get well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus because He is the truth. Do you want to know what's true? Follow Jesus. Pay attention to Him. That's how we know truth. And then we have no excuse for ignorance. Some of us, darn. But isn't that part of growing up? Part of growing up is you run out of excuses. I can't excuse myself anymore for that. I knew exactly what I was doing when I did it. And if you start following Jesus, start following the Christ, you'll run it. You won't have a reason for excuse anymore because you're living in truth. And everything connected with the old life has to go. And we take on an entirely new way of life. Now remember, if we were following the crowd, it looks like this circular thing. It just kind of keeps going mindlessly around and around and around. But I think when we start following the Christ, we begin, there's these layers of richness. It's like this multi-layered cake that our life gets richer and richer. And I want you to really notice the way that Paul lays out the layers for us. First of all, he says, we pay careful attention to Jesus. And then when we pay careful attention to Jesus, we're well instructed in the truth. And then once we are acquainted to truth as it's lived out in Jesus, then we have no excuse for ignorance. We can't say, I didn't know that anymore. And then notice, everything connected to the old way of life begins to go. And then we take on an entirely new way of life. What I'd really like you to see about these layers is that behavior is the end of the process. Behavior is the end of the process. You see, when I get frustrated about me and I'm doing the things that I know are acquainted with the old way of life, I just want to change the old way of life. I mean, I just want to change the behavior. That's the first thing I want to do. Or if I see that's happening in the life of my family, the thing I want to change that behavior because that behavior, that's old. I want something new. And then when I get to hang out with people around the room, you know, and that behavior is bugging me, I want to change that behavior. You know what? This is what the New Testament is telling us. We can't change our behavior. Doesn't matter how much you want to change, you will not change if that's all you're trying to do. When you see me messing up and you want to change me, guess what? You can't change me. There's only one thing that can change us. And that's a God who's at work from the inside out changing us. That's it. There's no other option. There's no other option. So when the church, in the side of the church that's not very beautiful, begins to cry out against the world that is doing things wrong and demanding that they do things right. They've started with change your behavior. And they're asking people that are following that crowd to change, and they can't change. So what should we be doing? Maybe we should direct people's attention to Jesus. Maybe we should keep our attention on Jesus rather than what people are doing wrong. I mean, I have many friends that have walked into a community of faith. They've been interested in faith. They know their life isn't together. And those in that community of faith that say, great, it's so great you want to be here, but you need to clean up this, and clean up this, and then you can come back. And I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking, that's not what the Bible's saying. So when the people that are supposed to be following Jesus are not paying attention to Jesus, how does anybody else pay attention to Jesus? Most of the people in my life that reflect an old way of life know they reflect an old way of life. And they want something better. I don't know many people that are just hardened criminals. They just don't know the way. They don't know the path. And the best thing we can do with people like that in our lives is pay careful attention to Jesus. Not complain about the behavior. Not demand that people change when they can't change. Because there's this new way of life, and the Bible calls it a God-fashioned life. It's a life that's renewed from the inside, and that works itself outside to conduct. And it's a life that God accurately reproduces His character in us. So it looks something like this. From the core, I mean, if you have at some point in your life made the decision to follow Jesus, then you have invited Jesus to mess with your life. Do you know that? When I was 17 and in a Young Life summer club, stood up and said, I want to follow Jesus, I just invited Jesus to mess with my life. And so for the past 40 years, He's been messing with my life from the inside out. So what He's trying to do, He's trying to renew life from the inside. And once He begins to renew that, what He's doing, it's God, the Holy Spirit, accurately reproducing His character within us. We know God is love. By nature, I don't love. But God loves, and so God begins to work at the core of me, convincing me that He is love, and then He reproduces that love in me. And then as He does that, that begins to work itself out into my conduct, and I begin to love people. I remember being in a gathering, and truthfully, the Holy Spirit was very active at the core of people. And one of my friends had to leave early, just like Mrs. Winch had to leave early. And I knew he had to leave, and I just walked over to him just to say goodbye. And I tend to be a patty kind of guy. And I put my hand on this guy's shoulder to say goodbye to him. And all of a sudden, I was choked up. Tears welled up. And I was overwhelmed by love for this person. Well, when I'm patting you, I'm not like that. But somehow, God, from the inside out to my conduct, allowed me to feel love at a degree for this friend of mine that I'd never felt. Well, that wasn't something natural. That wasn't just, okay, I'm going to decide to love that guy today. It was God doing something from the inside out. He's going to do that with love. He's going to do that with joy. He's going to do that with gentleness. He's going to do it. Just go through the fruits of the Spirit. That's what He's wanting to do. He's wanting to reproduce His character in us, and it works out in our conduct. And my friends, we're not in control of that at all, other than to say, that's what I want. I want to become like Jesus. Because when I keep my focus on Jesus, it just calls something from me that's better than what I am right now. And then as that new conduct comes up from the inside, that displaces the old conduct. It's not that I just stop doing bad stuff. It's replaced by I'm doing the right stuff. But I'm doing the right stuff not because today I'm going to be good. That doesn't work. I've had many, many days that I decided to be good. In the next 5 minutes, I wasn't good. We're not good. But God is good. And He really wants to change us from the inside out. So the question is, which of these lives do we want? Do we want a life that's chasing whatever that crowd is? Or do we want a life that's really focused on the King, the Christ, Jesus? That text message would say, Jesus. I love that little whistle. Susan has that. It's kind of like I'm whistling at her. Here's some suggestions. Right now. This is not you. Hey, don't do this for your neighbor. Do this for yourself. I'd like each of us to identify one old way of life that you want to get rid of. I mean, there's probably one way of living right now that every one of us in this room, it's just this perpetual bad habit. It's just this way we just do it, whatever, we just act out in whatever way. Now, so that you'll feel good, this is where Paul's going to take us. He's going to take what we're talking about, and then he's going to say, okay, now let me describe to you what needs to go and what needs to come. So his list of this is the old way of life that needs to go. We need to stop lying. We need to stop destructive anger. We need to stop stealing. You know, as I go into, do y'all realize, like, he's talking to people like they're in a church like you are? They're like people that didn't have it all together. Like, whoever thought that people sitting in a church building had it all together? And we're in the world where we get the idea that we just pretend like we have it all together when we really don't have it all together. So some of us lie. Some of us get angry and we tear stuff up. We hurt other people. Some of us steal stuff. Some of us use really bad language. We're really profane. Now, we wouldn't do it on Sunday morning. Oh, goodness gracious. Some of us bite each other's backs. A friend of mine did a little posting on Facebook. You know, Southerners say, "You'll bless my soul," when they really mean, "You idiot." You know, we have this Southern way of just biting each other's head off. Some of us walk around with unforgiveness. Some of us have greed, lust. I don't know if you noticed, but Jesus wasn't really excited about people with a lot of religious trappings. Gosh. And then relationships, marriage, family. I mean, those are all the things that Paul is, we're going to keep going in Ephesians. These are the things we're going to talk about. We need to get rid of it. Well, can you identify something from that list? And can I just kind of like give you permission? Like, because Ephesians is written to a church. So you're not going to be the first Christian on the planet that struggles with greed. So could you identify one area? Now, this is something I'm tired of. I'd really like to see change. Now, others in your life may have reinforced what you already know. that it's being destructive, but I'm not asking you to listen to others. I'm asking you to listen to yourself. Then if you've identified, have you identified that? You don't have to identify. Don't tell me what it is. Now, this is what I'm asking you to do. Okay, you've identified an old way of life that you want to get rid of. First thing I want you to do this week, pay attention to Jesus. What? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what this is saying. Pay attention to Jesus. I mean, like, go read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John about the life and the ministry of Jesus, because you'll find somebody that was around Jesus that struggled in every one of these areas. So go find out how Jesus dealt with somebody that was a liar. Go find out how Jesus dealt with someone that had lust or was greedy. Go find out. I'm not going to tell you where to go. Go find it out yourself. You need to pay attention to Jesus. That's the place to go. When we want something to be different in our life, go find it out from Jesus. Then when you find that out, I've said this once, but I'll say it again. You know, when we begin to focus on Jesus, how he lived and how he related to people, that it just awakens, I want to be better in the way I live my life. Then the only thing we can do at that point is to invite the Holy Spirit to fashion new life within us. I see it now, I'm going to be better today. Don't do that, because you won't be. The church a long time ago learned to pray the Jesus Prayer. Do you know what the Jesus Prayer is? Jesus, Son of the Living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's not, Lord Jesus, Son of the Living God, help me to do better today. No. Have mercy on me, because I, by myself, can't do better. It doesn't work. So invite the Holy Spirit to fashion new life from within. And accept that He wants to accurately reproduce the character of Jesus within us. If I try to reproduce the character of Jesus in you, it will not be accurate. If I try to reproduce the character of Jesus myself within me, it won't be accurate. But the Holy Spirit, being God, knowing Jesus forever, He can accurately reproduce the character of Jesus within us from the inside out. And then as He does that, then new behavior, new conduct, a new way of life will come. It'll rise to the surface. And when it does, embrace it and let go of the old. That's how we're changed. Now I'm wondering, do we want to go on this adventure? This is a wonderful adventure. As I was thinking about these suggestions, and I was thinking about how I would pray for us, I remembered that time that I've mentioned when I was 17, and someone gave me the opportunity to stand up among my peers and say, I want to follow Jesus. I remember that moment. I will never forget that moment. That was a very big moment in my life. And so I thought what I might do before I pray for us, that I might give anybody in this room the opportunity. If you've never had the opportunity to stand up in a group of your peers and say, I want to follow Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity this morning to do that. Just to stand up where you are. You don't have to move anywhere. Just stand up where you are and just say, I want to follow Jesus. If you'd like to do that, stand up. If we could start over here and just say, I want to follow Jesus. Stay standing, please. Anybody else? This doesn't have to be your day. Just want to give you the opportunity. If you would stay standing and the rest of us join those that are standing, please. Jesus, as a community of people, we want to follow you. And as we follow you, we want to pay attention to you. And as we focus upon you, you just make us want to live better. And so I pray, Lord, for those that have stood up today, and I know these people, I know each one that stood, and I know that they've begun to follow you. This is just their opportunity to stand up and say it out loud, I want to follow Jesus. And Lord, we want to just support and encourage and help each other in following Jesus. And our desire, Lord, is to live a life that is worthy of your invitation to us to enter your kingdom. Lord, we want to live up to the standards of behavior that you do expect for us. And Lord, we want to admit that we fall short. And we want to admit that by our own selves, we can't do this. And so, Lord, as we come to you today, we invite the Holy Spirit to fashion the life of Jesus within us, to accurately reproduce the character of Jesus within us. And Holy Spirit, as you work from the inside out, I pray that as new conduct comes, we'll let go of the old and let the new take its place. So we invite you, let that process, let it not only just begin, but let it really be effective in this community. Reproduce your character in us from the inside out. That your beauty would be reflected through us to a world that needs to see that beauty. Now, before I say amen, I want to invite anybody that would like, I mean, you may sense that some of the old way is, you're just really stuck in the old way, that old behavior, it just won't let go of you. And so sometimes you need to say that. You need to tell somebody that. I'm stuck. I'm stuck. And I just can't seem to move away from that. And so I would love to pray with you, and others would pray with you over in this corner of the room as others are leaving today, just to help us get unstuck and to move forward. That's what we want to do. So if we can help you in that way, we want to do that. So Lord, thank you for our morning together. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Lord, thank you for those that stood up today and publicly said, I want to follow Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Encourage them. In your name we pray. Amen.